All right, our next guest joining us now, David Dearson, joining us, Pacific Legal Foundation. David, welcome. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. You have got something very close to home for us because we are in Aurora, which literally is right next door to Denver, and you've got a lawsuit going on with a Denver, a Denver home builder because of a linkage fee ordinance that Denver now has.
That's exactly right.
So talk about, number one, what is this Denver linkage fee?
Well, the idea behind the linkage fee, it's sort of a form of a policy that's pretty popular around the country that's called inclusionary zoning. We think of it as extortionate zoning.
I was just going to say thank you. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, that's right. We think of it as extortionate zoning. The way it works is, if you want to get a development permit to build housing, the city forces you to pay a fee to subsidize housing elsewhere. But there are actually very strict constitutional limitations on the kinds of development permit fees that governments can charge. And we think it's pretty clear that these fees don't meet those limitations.
This is different from a lot of you listening to, because this is something, David, that a lot of folks maybe don't know, but, a lot of times developers will sit down at the table with a particular city and say, we want to do this particular development, and in turn we'll give you land or even help you build a local fire station, or we'll help you put a park in, or we'll do these things. And it's sort of ancillary, and it's sort of icing on the cake for the city. And in a way, it is in a lot of ways a bribe. I hate to say it that way, but it's literally a bribe to help get your project pushed through. That's way different than what you're talking about here, though, right?
Yeah, well, this is different because it's mandatory and required on basically all residential development and even most commercial and industrial development as well.
Yeah, the difference being, instead of going down to the table and having some negotiation, this is something that right off the top, this is what the city's going to require you to do, period, or you're not building, period. It's that simple,
correct,
right?
They will not grant you a permit unless you satisfy their conditions, which means paying these exorbitant fees.
Hey, David, first of all, just for the record, I oppose these fees entirely, and I don't like the idea that if you're going to go in and develop, which, by the way, creates jobs, okay?
There's all sorts of things.
All kinds of great jobs.
It opens up somebody else's home, or they may have been living in me. We can go down the list, Andy.
It's fantastic in so many ways for the economy, and yet that money is going to be put into affordable housing, which largely becomes bad times. But really quick, David, how big are these fees? How is this calculated?
Great question.
Well, they're done by square footage, and the crazy thing is that they're actually scheduled to go up every single year in July. So they're projected to rise basically forever. In this case, our client Red T Homes is building two different projects. They're building one project consisting of four single family homes, on which they're paying a fee of $25,000, and another project of two duplexes.
Whoa, wait a minute. Only four houses? Or how many houses, and it's $25,000 total for the fee?
That's right. On one of them. On the other, it's four houses, and they're paying $45,000.
For just that little? I thought you were talking about, for a large development.
No, just a regular house.
So just for a few houses, for just a few houses, they're giving up $25,000?
Right.
That's insane.
Yes. And I want to make sure that I highlighted, and we didn't miss all of this, what you just said is these fees will reset every July, right?
That's right. And it continue to go up.
Unreal. Okay. So I'm assuming, and again, I try to catch as many things, David, as we can locally, but there's so many different cities in the Front Range area here that I just honestly cannot keep up with all of the different changes that come. I'm guessing this is something that was probably passed by council, mayor signs off on it, and here we are.
Yeah, the policy has been around for a while, for about 10 years, but recently they passed what they call the Expanded Housing Affordability Bill, which beefs it up even more.
Okay. So essentially they've raised the stakes, let's say it that way.
That's right, and they've expanded the kinds of projects that it applies to.
Got it. Okay, so where do we stand with the lawsuit, these sorts of things, again, and why this is such a big deal? And why you guys get involved in these things, I assume, is because these set precedents. They can set precedents not only here in Colorado, but in other states across the country as well. Because to your point, when something is unconstitutional, you can prove it. It sets a precedent for a lot of other cities and towns and things that happen in other places. In other words, saying, hey, guys, don't do that because it's going to get shot down.
That's exactly right. And we're in federal court. And, you know, we may end up at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. And I don't know if it'll be this case, but I think one of these cases is ripe for Supreme Court review, because like I said at the top, these policies are very popular, and the case against them from a constitutional perspective is very strong.
What is the case against them? Because, I mean, it would seem to me that local control, these are ludicrous ideas, but a lot of people locally put through ludicrous ideas, and they can simply say to you, hey, that's the price of doing business here. You don't want to do that. Go somewhere else.
That's right. It's not just that they're ludicrous ideas and bad policies. The issue is that when you're requiring people as a condition of getting a development permit, when you require them to give up property interests or to give up money, there is a special test that courts employ to make sure that you're not basically making an end around to get around the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment, right? Mm. Government can't take property without compensating you. But that would be meaningless if they could force you to give up property in exchange for a permit that you need. There's a real power imbalance there at the permitting desk. So the rule is, if they're going to demand money or property from you as a condition of granting a permit application, the demand that they make has to be designed to mitigate for some real impact that your development is going to cause. And you guys said it exactly right at the top. Building new residential development does not have a negative impact on affordability. It makes affordability better by increasing supply.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's very basic economics.
But just using it to raise money for their other pet projects, I don't see how that fulfills that.
Yeah, exactly. They're not really mitigating for any actual impact of the development. They're just trying to raise money in a way that's more politically palatable than raising taxes.
So they can buy votes elsewhere.
At the end of the day, this is a way I look at it, and Andy's hitting the nail on the head, and so are you, David. This is just a tax to either pacify one, you know, section of your constituents, I guess you could say, help out politically, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, these are just taxes.
Well, that's right. Well, they're, you know, and it's hard to raise taxes because people won't vote for it.
Right.
But if you can shift the burden onto the folks who need the development permit, they don't have much of a choice unless they can find a good lawyer like we have over at the Pacific Legal Foundation. They're usually out of luck. That's why we want to prove that these policies are unconstitutional.
Okay, answer me a question along these lines where you guys are going down this path with these particular costs. Does this also dovetail into what a lot of cities and counties are doing now, municipal organizations, when it comes to water taps and things along those lines? Some of these are getting so exorbitant that they're basically eliminating almost the ability for people to build things because they're raising those tap fees up so much. And in a lot of cases, there's kickbacks in those going to some of the things that you're mentioning. So my question is, does winning this have any effect upon those sorts of things as well?
Yeah, it's all related. I mean, it gets a little bit tricky when the government can characterize the fee as a user fee for a service.
Right.
But really, any time that the government is making you pay a fee, or, you know, we have cases where they're forcing people to, at their own expense, extend the water mains well past what their own projects
would need. Right,
thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, it's all related.
Okay. Thank you. Because to me, this is where I feel a lot of municipalities, cities, counties start wielding their power in ways that, frankly, I don't think they should have the power to do. They are, in a lot of ways, and David, I think this is where I come into this and how I look at it, is they're basically taking away your ability to develop out your own property, therefore diminishing the value and taking away your own personal property rights. And to me, that's the crux of a lot of this.
That's right. And another way to look at it is that they're basically forcing you to give up your constitutional
right
to just compensation for a taking.
That's right. That's right. Good way of saying it. Well, keep us abreast of what goes on. This is, again, right next door. I mean, Denver. I mean, what goes on in Denver happens in a lot of the other, you know, suburbs that we have around Denver as well, David. So whatever happens here, believe me, other cities will be looking at this and determining, is this something we're going to go after as well? So this outcome will have a big effect upon us in Colorado and, of course, other places around the country. So, yeah, by all means, keep us informed. If there's something you want to let our listeners know, or there's things that you want to keep us abreast of. And I should also mention, please tell us how we can help you guys. This is something that you guys are doing to help this particular developer out. How do we help you help them?
Well, you know, get the word out. We're looking to challenge these policies, not just in Denver, but and not just in Colorado, but really all over the nation. So folks can go to PacificLegal.org to learn a little bit more about us and the work we do. And I'd love to hear about, you know, more of these cases, more developers who are finding that it's impossible for them to do what they need to do and build and actually help mm-hmm. build this country out, because the government's trying to do something backwards. It's yep. trying to make housing more affordable by making it more costly. It's just not going to work.
It isn't. And I also mentioned this. Go to the website, PacificLegal.org. In the top right-hand corner is a donate button. Click it. Help these guys out, because a lot of what you guys do is literally through those. The majority of what you do is through those donations. So by all means, folks, go and donate.
We don't charge our clients a dime. We're entirely donor-funded.
There you go. So go and donate is my point. David, I appreciate you joining us today. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Have a great rest of your day. Guys, this is something that, as you guys can tell, near and dear to me. I watch so many different developments and different things that start to happen. And, you know, this whole affordable housing, utter nonsense. And it is absolutely utter nonsense. The best way to make a housing affordable, Andy, is build more of.
Right. But think about this for a moment. He's only building two small places, a few homes in each, right? And the city is getting $70,000 from
right.
those two combined.
That's right.
What for? So that they can build affordable housing, which, as you know, is stacked and packed
right.
with tons of voters who are going to vote for them. They're buying people's votes
yep.
with his
$70,000. Great point, Andy. Another great way to look at it. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.